This is Mary Ingleby interviewing Albert Pogio on the 19th of September. So, Albert, perhaps we could just begin with you talking a little bit about your parents and grandparents and their background.
Right. I come from a mixed race family, as most Gibraltarian families are. My Poggio side of the family, I have traced my ancestries to the first Poggio that arrived in Gibraltar to 1736, and they came from a place called Savona in Italy, which is Savona is about 30 miles outside Genoa. Most of the Italian Gibraltarians come from that part of Italy. My mother's side is a Jewish side, and they are from Moroccan extraction. I haven't been able to trace that side of the family very, very much, but that is a kind of mixture that you do get in Gibraltar of Italian and Moroccans, Jews particularly, that's my background.
Thank you. And we talked a little bit before we turned the tape on about the fact that you were obviously your family was evacuated during the war. Can you talk a little bit about that? Who was evacuated? Did your father stay behind, etc.?
Well, from the whole of Gibraltar was evacuated, except for those people that were employed or were in the armed forces in their own right. In the case of my family, they were all evacuated, except for my father, who was a MOD policeman, but in those days it was called a special security. And we'll come back to that one in a minute. But from what I gather, they were evacuated. First of all, they went to Tangier, to North Africa, and then when the I'm told when the Vichy French had their problems in Morocco, they had to get the Brits out quickly, and they brought them back to Gibraltar. Didn't allow them to disembark. They stayed on board the ships, whilst London decided what had to be done, where they could go, and eventually they were dispersed. They left Gibraltar. They were dispersed. Most of them came to London. They came to North London, particularly Kensington, but some of them went to Jamaica, some went to Madeira, and some went up to Scotland. But the bulk of them was here in London, and it was during this time that the flying bombs started to rain on London. And the government in London decided that they had to evacuate again, not only the Gibraltarians, but obviously as many people as they could from London. The Gibraltarians were sent to camps in Northern Ireland. And it was in one of these camps that I made my appearance in this world soon after the war. It took a number of years for the evacuation, the repatriation of the Gibraltarians back to Gibraltar. In fact, it was 1953 when we went back to Gibraltar. And there was lots of reasons why this happened. And so I'm told, we were told that there was not enough accommodation. And indeed, I remember one of my first images of Gibraltar is moving into a brand new block of flats. Which had been constructed immediately after the war, and that's where we lived in Scud Hill. And the other theory of why it taken so long, of course, was that the Churchill had done a deal with the Spaniards, keep them out of the war. And then they could have Gibraltar. This has never been proven, even in the 60 years unveiling of records has not proven that. Recently I spoke to a guy called Paul Preston, who is the foremost authority on the Spanish history, and he confirmed to me that there had been a deal. The view of London was a simple one. If we lose the war, we lose Gibraltar anyway. If we win, we're not going to give it to them. So that was it. So life in Gibraltar in those early days.
Can I just bring you back to one thing? Thank you so much. Just, you mentioned before that your aunt, because obviously you went with a bit of an extended family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your aunt had told, obviously you can't remember much about Ballymena, but your aunt had told you a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just tell me what she told you about what life was like in the camps?
Well, what she told me was life was very tough. I mean, there was a number of camps in the county of Antrim and Londonderry. Our camp was in Ballymena in Antrim. Life was pretty tough, and you know, there was rations, restrictions, and the Gibraltarian being very wily people. They, you know, the way that they would deal with the farmers and create friendships to be able to get a little bit extra for their particular camps. There was all these kind of things. There was a number of inter sort of marriages within the camps, and this was evident later on when I visited Ballymena sort of 40, 50 years later. There was evidence of this Gibraltarian intermarriages with the Irish, the people of Northern Ireland. So really, that's all I can tell you about the camps. I don't remember very much, obviously, because I wasn't born, basically. But
no, of course
what my
not.
Aunt told me, that is basically what I...
No, that's fine. I actually just wanted to ask you one other thing. What's in my head was that a lot of people who I've interviewed, particularly people who were in London during the war, even as children, and they remember narrow escapes and all sorts of things, and, you know, when the Blitz was on, is that the Gibraltarians were seen as very lucky, and quite often that a lot of the local people would come into the shelters where the Gibraltarians were because they were seen as lucky, as lucky. Did you know about that?
I didn't know that.
No, I think that's really interesting, and there's quite a, there's a lot of people mention that. Anyway, let's move on to... your earliest recollections of Gibraltar when you were a child?
Well, my earliest recollection in Gibraltar obviously was one of a very much a military garrison. I mean, everywhere we turned, I mean, there would be soldiers. And of course, in those days, soldiers would wear uniforms, even in their time off. So everywhere you went, there was just sailors, soldiers, and airmen. I remember at a very early age a fight. I used to live in the south of Gibraltar in Scud Hill, and my school was in town in because we used to spend a lot of time with my grandmother, who lived in just off Main Street in George's Lane. So I used to go to a school in central town, St Mary's, and I had to walk from, you know, which to us then was a long, long walk from the south of the district to Main Street to school. And there had been a fight the night before where the American fleet, you used to have the home fleet, the British home fleet, and you used to have the British Mediterranean fleet. And of course, in those days, a fleet, hundreds of ships, and they would say, well, look, the fleets are coming in at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I remember, because I've always been fascinated by ships, that I would stand at my window where we lived in Kent House, which I had the view of the entrance to the bay, and at 9 o'clock on the dot, the first sort of frigate would be coming through, and ships would be coming into Gibraltar the whole morning, and they would moor in the docks. Destroyers, you would have like four abreast, then you would have cruisers, you know, two or three abreast, aircraft carriers, and it was an amazing sight of ships. And you used to get the Mediterranean and the Home Fleet coming in at the same time. hundreds and hundreds of ships, the whole bay and the inside harbour would be full of naval ships. That is an impression that I have in my mind that will always stay with me. But on the particularly morning in question, there had been the American fleet had come in as well, and the Australians. And there had been a fight, and which I'm told was started between the Brits and the Aussies. But eventually, because the Americans got involved, it was the Brits and the Aussies against the Americans. And I remember going to school the next morning, walking along from Scud Hill to town, and it was like a battleground of broken chairs and broken timber everywhere, you know, the tables had been broken. And the fight had apparently started in a bar opposite the law courts in Gibraltar, and had extended out into the street and all the way back to the dockyard. So they kept sort of having a go at one another all the way back. And it was a huge battleground. And the night before, because where I lived was on the way back to the docks, and the fighting that continued, we had my block, which is called Kent House, and directly opposite was a police barracks. And there were so many fights going on in our little area that quite a few of the local men stood on tables with sticks to keep them all away from coming into our block. And I remember vividly, I mean, I couldn't have been more than about 5 years old, 5, 6 years old,